Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Friends, thanks for tuning in today. Whether it was on accident or on purpose, either way, I'll take it. This is Bill Arnold in today for Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We're here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome to the big show, and a very happy Tuesday to you. I hope your week is off to a good start. Did you know that pastors say that more than 90% of their congregations struggle with unforgiveness? And unforgiveness can make us forget what we were made for. Wow. My guest today has co-written a book called The Freedom Factor, Finding Peace by Forgiving Others and Yourself. Dr. Mark Strong is one of the co-authors, and he is the lead pastor of Life Change Church in Portland, Oregon, and the author of Church for the Fatherless and the Divine Merger. And he is my distinguished guest on the show today. Dr. Mark Strong, welcome.
Welcome. Thanks for having me today, Bruce.
Bill.
Appreciate
Bill.
Being with you.
That's okay, but the name's Bill.
I'm sorry, Bill. I'm looking at the book cover. My apologies, Bill.
That is okay, brother. You're cool with me.
Okay.
You know, first of all, okay. It's nice you're Dr. Mark Strong. I mean, if you were Dr. Mark Weak, that would have been a horrible, horrible life.
Yeah, I've lived my life with a share of the weak jokes.
I bet you have. So I'm not going to add. I'm not going to add one more to them. But your book is fascinating because the whole idea of finding peace by forgiving others is something that everyone struggles with, Christian, non-Christian. It doesn't really matter. We've all got some things that we need to work on, don't we?
We do. And, you know, many times I think everybody is in pursuit of peace. Everybody's in pursuit of blessing, you know, for their lives. And many times we look at so many reasons or things that we could attain to find that. But some of the things that are very critical to experiencing peace and blessing, it eludes us because we don't know sometimes, or we overlook one of the principal things that keep us from experiencing what our hearts would really desire and what God would really desire for us to experience as well, too.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mark, we're kind of scripture junkies on this show, so we'd love to start the hour with hearing what's been on your heart. What has God been giving you from the Word that you've been thinking about and meditating on, and what has the Holy Spirit prompted you with lately?
One of the scriptures I've been thinking about lately is Zechariah 4:6. Where Zerubbabel has been instructed to rebuild the temple, and he has many obstacles, political obstacles, internal obstacles, provisional resource obstacles, and God gives him the word that says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. And he says, the mountain shall be removed. And when I think about that passage, and I think about things that are transpiring in our nation, and they're transpiring in people's hearts, marriages, homes, families, children, businesses. It reminds me that God is able to move the mountains that we experience, the mountains we face, so that his purposes and his plans can come forth through our lives. And so today, as we talk a little bit about as we talk about the forgiveness factor, my prayer today is that as we proceed in the program, that God, by his Spirit, would move the mountains and the obstacles in our hearts that would prevent us and keep us from forgiving, so that we can all experience the wonderful peace and the joy that God so graciously desires for us to have and to attain.
That's awesome. You know, those Old Testament verses are not always my favorites because I'm always nervous to try to pronounce the names. So nice job on that.
Yeah.
Awesome job on that. All right. So will you tell our listeners a little bit about how your faith journey came, how you came to faith in Christ?
Yeah, so the way I came to Christ was I had pretty much been raised in church by my mother. My dad was not a believer, so he never went to church. He never encouraged us to go to church at all. And so growing up, every Sunday, my mom would make sure that there was five of us, so my two brothers, my two sisters, and myself. She would pack us all into a white station wagon and drive us to church. Sometimes we would try to say, okay, we're not going to go this Sunday because I can't find my shoe, but there were Sundays I went to church with one shoe because mom was determined that we were going to go to church. Well, when we got a little bit older, my dad started saying, well, you know, they're old enough to make their mind if they want to go or if they don't want to go. And so obviously, you know, the boys would say, we'd rather stay home, watch the football games, go play basketball in the backyard or something like that, so we didn't go. By the time I was in high school, I was not going to church hardly any at all. I'd probably go Easter, Mother's Day, and maybe a Christmas service. My grandmother, who is 101 now, she would just beg us all the time, come to church, come to church, come to church, come to church. So what I did one Sunday was I said, okay, I'm going to go just to get some peace of mind from my grandmother. So I had been out all night long, partying the night before, and I had went to church that morning just to get some get a little peace from Grandma bugging me. And as I sat in that pew, it was like a hard wooden pew, I sat there that morning. And while someone was singing a song, I stood to my feet and I said, God, if you want me, you can have me. And from that moment, there was just a incredible turnaround in my life, where Jesus became so real, the scriptures became so real, the presence of God became so real, and my heart and my passion from that day forward was just to seek God, to love him, and to share him with as many people as I could.
That's powerful. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Let's start with a little bit of a diagnostic. If I'm going to have freedom, if I'm going to enjoy freedom because I have found peace by forgiving others and myself, let's do a little diagnostic for all the listeners. Does peaceful describe your life? Let's ask a few questions. Would others describe me as a peaceful person? Do I have to work to seem like I have life together? And all appearances aside, is my inner life tormented? Speak to that.
So I think if a person has, if God's desire is not for us to work to have peace, He gives us his peace. He places his peace within our hearts. I think the beauty of serving God, knowing God, being in harmony with him and being in alignment with him is that who he is and what he gives to us flows out of us. It's not contrived by our own efforts, it's not contrived by our own energies, it's not contrived by us trying to make everything look good on the outside to others, but it's something that's real, that's in the inside, and it's something that happens when we do things the way he wants us to do, and more importantly, when we forgive.
Okay, let's shift now to something about our heart, because our heart is designed to be this wonderful, healthy, joyful place filled with the Holy Spirit, leading us, guiding us, yet there can be a lot of weeds that need pulling inside
right.
that heart. And
yes,
in the
I'm
book,
sorry, go ahead.
And the book says so wonderfully, and I underline this and put all kinds of markings in the margin, every sin seeks to control a person by becoming a habit.
Yes.
And the point was you develop the habitual response of unforgiveness after being hurt.
Yes. And so let me just kind of back up a little bit to get to that.
Please do.
Ask that question. So what happens is in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35, Peter asks Jesus a question. And he says to him, Lord, how many times shall I forgive a person who has trespassed or sinned against me? And now, you know, that's a pretty good question because none of us want to be a punching bag. None of us want to get hurt a lot, you know, so, Jesus, there ought to be a limit to how many times I am to forgive someone. And so Peter asked that question, and he probably thinks it's a pretty good spiritual question because, he throws some spiritual nuances in there. Should I forgive my brother, 70 times 7 and so forth? But Jesus' response to him was not what he expected. So Jesus tells Peter, no, you don't forgive your brother up to seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, when Peter hears that, and the other disciples for that matter, you can imagine red flags are going off in their minds and their hearts like crazy. Forgive someone 70 times seven? That's insane. Why would anybody want to do that? So Jesus' response to Peter's question, it raises a huge question that Jesus knows that they don't have the answer to, and there's no way in a million years they would be able to get that answer. So what Jesus does is he explains the answer by telling them a parable. And what a parable is a story that tells a heavenly reality that happens here on earth. So Jesus goes through the parable and he says there was a king who called in his servants to settle accounts. Well, he brings in this man that literally owes him a fortune. And so what the man does is he realizes he can't pay the king the amount of money that he owes, and he knows he's in hot water. You know, he can feel the prison guards breathing down his back to come get him and apprehend him and take him to jail. So his only recourse is to cry out and to plead to the king for mercy. So he cries out to the king. He says, please, please, there's no way I can pay you back. I don't have this. Have mercy on me. Forgive me. And what the king does, the master does, is he forgives the servant for that massive debt that he has. So here it is, this man who would have went to a debtor's prison until he was able to pay everything that he owed. He cries out to the king for mercy. That king has compassion upon him. He forgives him. So this servant who has experienced forgiveness, he leaves the business chambers, and he goes out, and he finds a guy that owes him just a couple of pennies. There's not even close to the debt he had just been forgiven of. And so what he does is he goes to the guy and he says, I want you to pay me the money that you owe me right now. The person that owed him money goes through the same scenario that he just went through. He says, please, give me some time. I'll pay you back. And so what this servant that was forgiven, what he does is he grabs the man by the neck. He starts to strangle him. He starts to choke him. And he says, throw him into prison. So he doesn't reciprocate any of the mercy. He doesn't reciprocate any of the grace he's just received. He throws this man, has this man thrown into prison. And so there were bystanders around that saw what had just happened to him moments ago and saw his behavior that he just predicated upon this man now. And so the king calls him back in the chambers and he says, look, I just forgave you for an incredible debt that you could not pay. And here it is, one of your fellow servants who owes you just a couple of pennies, you couldn't forgive him. And so, Bill, this is where the secret that many of us don't know, we don't realize, this is the piece that keeps us from experiencing the peace of God. This is the piece that allows difficulty to come in our lives because we don't understand that, but Jesus is about to give it to us in verse 35 because the master says he was angry and he says to his servants, he said, deliver him to the torturers until he shall pay all that was due. And then Jesus finishes the parable by saying this, so my heavenly Father also will do to you, to each of you who does not forgive his brother from his heart for their trespasses. And so what happens is when we don't forgive, what God does is God allows us to experience discipline and torment because we have not done what he wants us to do, and that is to forgive. And when we unpack what that word torment and the discipline that God puts on life, it gives a whole lot of answers as to why people don't experience the peace that God would have.
Hey, Dr. Strong, we have to take a little pause here, but we'll be right back. Lots more of talking about the Freedom Factor today. This is Bill Arnold in for Susie. We'll be right back. No mountain higher. Welcome to Live the Promise. So glad you joined us today. Bill Arnold in for Susie. Talking to Dr. Mark Strong today. He's co-written a book with Dr. Bruce Wilkinson called The Freedom Factor, Finding Peace by Forgiving Others and Yourself. Mark, you talk about the fear of being hurt and some of the habits that our heart gravitate towards is we build walls around the heart because wounds that are not forgiven demand protection from future wounds. It's like a broken bone. You got to put a cast on it, and that's just for protection. So what's going on with our hearts that we're going to build a wall around it?
See, when a person, I'll never forget this. I was in the sixth grade, and I was riding my bike in our cul-de-sac, and there was a person backing out of the driveway, and I didn't see that person coming. I must have been looking over at a neighbor's yard, hollering at another one of the kids. And the person backed out of the driveway. It wasn't real hard, but they hit me enough. They hit me hard enough to knock me off my bicycle. And the whole side of my face was just basically raw.
Mm-hmm.
Gravel was in my face, and it was so sore. I was crying for my mom. I didn't want anybody to touch me. But what had to happen was I had to allow my mother to get all of the dirt and all of the little pieces of gravel out of my face so that my face could heal properly. Whenever we are wounded, whenever someone commits an offense or a sin against us, what that does is it creates a wound. And a wound can only heal properly when it's cleansed. If the wound is not cleansed, then what begins to happen is an infection begins to set in. And what that infection does is it doesn't just, after a while, if it's not taken care of or tended to properly, the infection affects a person's entire body. So if my mom hadn't been persistent and just listened to my crying and my weeping, she would have never done what she had to do in order to clean my face out so that it could heal. And so when we're wounded by somebody that does something to us, whether it's a person that we work with that's lied against us, whether it's a bad divorce that takes place, or whether it's someone that's hurt you or a friend that has betrayed you, if that wound is not cleansed properly, that infection will begin to spread throughout our entire bodies, infect our minds, our hearts. And then what Dr. Wilkinson talks about in the book is how we begin to go down that slide of unforgiveness where we go from one thing to – we go from unforgiveness to anger to bitterness to slander, and we continue down the slide until we get in a place where we want to see the same thing happen to someone else and want them to feel the pain that we feel. And so that allows a person to begin to create habits in the heart that will keep them and prevent them from forgiving. But more so than that, it will allow them to continue to experience the suffering and the torment that comes from not forgiving.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is such a big subject. Now, as we talk about the heart some more and the walls you're going to build, there's something in here in the book that says, I lose emotional sensitivity. I become oblivious to the wounds caused by my aloofness, isolation, and non-emotional engagement. I can only sometimes see this after the fact by the pained response of others.
Yeah. So what happens is we try to stuff unforgiveness. We try to stuff the pain, and we try to stuff the anguish or the torment that we feel. And many times, what people do is many times what we would do is we will seek to anesthetize the pain that we feel and what we're experiencing with other different types of things. So once a person begins to go down that slide of unforgiveness, it's not uncommon for abuses to take place, whether that's with alcohol or drugs or maybe sometimes overeating or mm-hmm. binging, those type of things where a person will try to seek to cover that pain
mm-hmm.
because the torment that's there, it's hard for them to be able to deal with. And so they they do other things instead of finding the true answer, which is to forgive, because there's a legal contract tied to that. That's what, you know, because in the parable, when Jesus says the Father, I'm sorry, Jesus says the King will do my Father will do to you the same thing this King did this servant. That whole contract is legal terminology,
mm-hmm.
And so God, there's a legal contract that we are under, that until we forgive, we are under that contract, and we have not fulfilled our responsibility. That's why, you know, you'll see people in churches that pray regularly, they go to church regularly, they read their Bibles regularly, they may fast from time to time, they do all the spiritual things, but there's still this gnawing torment that comes through sometimes physically, emotionally, the different kind of pain and trauma that many times we can feel in our hearts and our soul. That pain is still present because the legal contract of not forgiving is still in effect. When we forgive, then what God does is God cancels that legal contract immediately, and then peace can flow. And I think sometimes we're under that misconception that, you know, we can just ignore that, but it can't be ignored.
Mm-hmm. So, Mark, we go to a hard break in 2 minutes just to keep you aware of our time constraint right now. But it says that you protect yourself from the painful, and you end up excluding yourself from joy. And then you develop a mistrust for other people because you misread their actions and their motives, because when a person is filled with unforgiveness, they misread other people. They look at others through eyes clouded with unforgiveness. So there's trouble all over the place, isn't there?
There's trouble all over the place. And so remember, we had just, you know, talked about the infection and how,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if a person, you know, like say you have two brothers, and one of the brothers had made a promise to his other brother. He didn't fulfill it. He broke that brother's heart. Well, the guy, his brother's tough. No big deal. I'll get over it. But what begins to happen is if the infection is not cleaned out, then it cannot be contained. So it's going to start to spread. It's going to affect the way that you feel, your emotions, and then it's going to also affect the way that you perceive other people. Because what begins to happen is, you know what, I really can't trust anybody because that person is just like my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And so the infection has never been cleansed out, has never been clean, so healing cannot take place. And so Jesus gives the remedy for that. And what's wonderful in the book is that it's Dr. Wilkinson lays out some very, very practical ways that people can forgive and find that forgiveness and cleanse the womb and wound and escape the torment.
All right, we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, lots more with Dr. Mark Strong and his book, The Freedom Factor. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in for Susie. We'll be right back. We're talking about forgiveness today. It's a big, heavy issue. We've got Dr. Mark Strong on the line, and he is helping us through this very difficult subject. And, Mark, I'm kind of at a place where I want to start asking some of the generic questions that we hear all the time. Things like, I can't forgive until that person who hurt me apologizes and repents.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I probably said that before, and I've thought about that before by myself.
Sure.
And I think we all do that. And I think part of what we do sometimes, Bill, is we talk about forgiveness and we think about forgiveness and we want to try to do it on our own terms. But when Jesus commands us to forgive, it's never about what somebody does to us. It's always about the response we are to take. One of the things that we have to understand is that if we're in this world, there's no way we're going to not experience hurt and pain caused by ourselves or by other people. There used to be a movie, I remember as a kid, there was a movie called The Boy in the Plastic Bubble, and he was in this plastic bubble to keep from being receiving any germs or any kind of contamination.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can't live like that. And so we're going to experience hurt. We're going to experience pain. People are going to let us down. There will be times when we will have to forgive ourselves from even injuries that we do to ourselves. But the important thing is we do what Jesus has commanded us to do, and that is to forgive. So sometimes we may not ever hear anybody say to us, "I'm sorry." But when that's the case, that person, they've gone about their business. But if we harbor unforgiveness, we're the ones who still experience the torment and the pain caused by not forgiving. So waiting till someone forgives us is not what Jesus would desire for us to do. He commands us to forgive, period.
Mm-hmm. There's a great anonymous quote in the book in chapter 8 that starts off the chapter by saying, it says, "Forgive others, not because they deserve forgiveness, but because you deserve peace."
Exactly. And that's so true, because we go back to Matthew 18, verse 35, the Father says, unless you forgive your brother from your heart, then you're going to experience the same type of torture that the man who didn't forgive his brother experienced. And so your peace, my peace, I mean, just think about it. Think about, you know, people are listening. Think about maybe your son who's going through so much havoc in his life. Think about your marriage and how your communication is with your husband or with your wife. Think about some of the relationships on your job and so forth. Think about the peace that you could have in those relationships if unforgiveness perhaps was moved from the heart. How much better things would be. And that forgiving can allow that to happen and will cause that to take place immediately.
Mm-hmm. I just want to invite our listeners, if you have a question about forgiveness for Dr. Strong and want to join the conversation, I would say give us a call, 1-877-933-2484, 1-877-933-2484, and I'll keep asking the interesting questions up until the point we get a caller. How about this one, Mark? I don't need to forgive. I don't want a relationship with that person.
Okay. You know, sometimes when if a person offends you, like if it's an abuse situation, and that person's a violent individual, they're not going to change. Chances are you are not going to have that relationship with that person, nor will you want one. However, you do want a relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
and God commands us to forgive because he doesn't want us to have anything in our hearts against anybody. He wants us to be free. He wants us to experience peace. And so even if you never have a relationship with that individual at all, you still don't want to have that person in a prison locked in your heart so that you are not free to be and experience who God wants you to be and to experience what God wants you to experience. And so it's always right to forgive whether or not a relationship is restored or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about this one? I can't forgive because what was done can never be fixed.
Okay, true. There are some things that have – let me give you tell you a story.
Okay.
I've been a pastor for over 28 years. There was a woman in our church whose son – was murdered. He was shot in the head. She called me at 2:30 at night to go to the hospital to see her son. When we got there, the nurses told us, they said, look, he's on life support. We kept him this way just so you could see him before he expired. So we went in the room. We saw her son. I watched this mother break down and weep and cry. It was the saddest thing I'd ever experienced. Mm. I went home that night. I didn't even turn my light off. I laid in my bed with my light on all night long. Fast forward 2 months. This mother calls me and says, I want to go down to the jail and I want to talk to the young man that murdered my son. She was never going to get her son back that was killed that night, never was going to get him back. But she went to the jail cell, and I sat across from that mother, And she told that young man, "You took my son, who I love very, very, very much. I can never get him back. However, I want you to know that God loves you, and God still has a plan for your life, and I forgive you." So here it is, this mother, full of Jesus, full of the Spirit of God, suffering in pain, which I cannot even comprehend, for the loss of her son, but yet she has the courage and the love, and she understands that if I'm going to keep following Jesus, whom I love, that I have to extend forgiveness to this young man. And I watched her do that, and that was one of the most powerful things I've ever witnessed in my life.
That's incredible, Mark. When I offered the listeners to call, the phones lit up. So let's talk to Patty in North Dakota. Patty, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I was just wondering, okay, when you forgive a person, you know, I've had to forgive, you know, my relatives in my life, and how do you forget about it? I mean, sometimes, you know, how the enemy will just keep bringing it back to you, like, oh, look at that person, you know, did this to you and whatever. So you forgive them, but can you ever forget what they did?
Well, I think when you truly, one of the things that Dr. Wilkerson points out in the book is this. He says, because some people, I've heard people say this before, you know, I have to keep forgiving this person over and over and over and over and over. Well, when Jesus says to forgive, the verb that's used in that passage is not that you continue to keep on forgiving or you forgive every now and then. The verb is that you forgive and you forgive and you do it once and you do it for all. Once, and it's good enough, you know, for history. And so when you forgive your relatives, and if you really went through the process, like that's why I encourage you, you won't be able to get it all in today on the radio, but if you get the book, Dr. Wilkerson goes through 5 steps that you can walk through to make sure that they are that the person you have forgiven, that you have forgiven the person that has wounded you. And at the end of those 5 steps, he concludes with something he calls the forgiveness verifier, so that you know that you've forgiven. So what I would say to you is this, is that once you know that you've forgiven that person, then Satan has no legal right to come back and to torment you or to haunt you with that and say, okay, well, you keep remembering this, because in your heart you know that you've forgiven them. And what happens is the peace that God puts in your soul is that garrison or that protective shield or helmet that keeps your mind from being bothered by those things again, because there sounds to me like there's still maybe some torment that's going on there. So I would just encourage you, if you can, Patty, just, you know, pick up a copy of the book and read through the portion that talks about the steps to forgiveness. And once you've gone through all those steps, and you go through that forgiveness verifier, and you are assured in your heart by the Spirit of God that you're forgiven, that won't be a problem for you anymore.
Patty, I hope that's encouraging to you. Stay on the line and let Aaron get your address, and we'll see if we can't get you a copy of the book. Oh, I think we might have lost her. Anyway,
okay.
Mark, let me ask you this. How about the person that says, you know what, I can't forgive right now, but give me time, someday I will.
Okay. Well, I would say to that person, when is it the right time to do what Jesus commands us to do?
Well, you don't have to get so specific and biblical.
Yeah. When is it the right time to do what Jesus commands us to do? So, delayed obedience is what? It's disobedience.
Okay.
And so the best thing to do is like, you know, in the book we talk about the bad habits, but they're also good habits. So when a person sets a value in their heart that they say, you know, I'm going to live my life with peace. I'm not going to allow a heart prison to develop where I don't forgive someone and then I lock them in the depths of my heart and form and create a heart prison that keeps them in bondage, that keeps me in bondage. Once I decide to forgive and free everybody that's out of my heart prison, I'm not going to open that back up for business again. So what happens is a person can develop a habit, that as soon as they're wounded, they can begin to forgive right away.
Mm-hmm.
So just like we can have bad habits with forgiveness, we can have good habits that would cause us to forgive people immediately.
Okay, Mark, here's another anonymous caller said, how do we handle situations where people dredge up old stuff from the past from many years ago?
Well, one of the things that we talk about in the when we talk about forgiving yourself, so it's important that we forgive others, but it's equally as important as we forgive ourselves. And so one of the things we talked about when you are forgiving yourself is taking some responsibility, and there are all those times when we have to ask God for his wisdom, take the proper steps, and go be responsible and take responsibility for things we may have done in the past. So if I've hurt someone in the past and I go to them and I say, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I had a bad day that day, I said some things to you I should have never said, please forgive me. I take full responsibility for that. I'm seeking your forgiveness, and I'm asking you to forgive me. You go to that person, and once you've done that, and you've been accountable, and you take responsibility, then you have freed and you've cleared yourself because you've done all that God has asked you to do. Now that person has their own issue that they have to work through in terms of finding forgiveness toward you. But once you've done what you're supposed to do, you fulfill the responsibility that Jesus Christ has given you to take care of. So you walk in that freedom, you pray for that person, but you don't allow that person to put a guilt trip on you because you've done what you need to do, you've asked them for their forgiveness, you take responsibility for your actions and your words, whatever that might be, and you've asked God to forgive you. Now you walk in the freedom that the Lord has given you.
Mark, I love talking to you. You even make me sound more interesting.
Oh, you do a great job.
Here's another anonymous question. Can you forgive while still seeking justice?
Can you forgive while still seeking justice?
Yes.
So when we go back to the slide of unforgiveness that a person experiences if they don't allow the wound to be cleansed from their heart. So there's a slide where they first experience unforgiveness, then we experience anger, then we experience bitterness, slander when the infection in our heart starts to reach our mouth. And then there's a resentment, that deep-seated cynicism that we can have where we've got that chip and that edge on us. And then there's hatred. And then the last part of the slide is vengeance, where we say we want that person to pay. So what can happen is this. If a person truly forgives and they have found that prior to forgiving, they've found themselves experiencing all the unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, slander, resentment, hatred, and they've got to a place of vengeance, when they truly forgive, there may come a place in their heart where they say, you know, instead of extending vengeance to that person, I want to extend mercy. Now, God does not condemn for a desire for vengeance because he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't condemn for that. And even in heaven, you know, the martyrs are crying out for vengeance because of their blood that was shed. But We have the ability to forgive and extend mercy. So where we may want to see judgment, see justice, we forgive, but we commit that into God's hand because neither you nor myself nor anyone else has the ability to administer justice or vengeance correctly. Only God can do that. That's why he says, it is mine.
Mm-hmm.
Our responsibility is to forgive, and then we commit that to God, and he'll take care of that. So sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm not going to forgive until I see justice come. It's not a this and that.
Mm-hmm.
Our only responsibility, Jesus never told us to make justice happen. He never told us to make vengeance happen. Jesus said, your responsibility, my responsibility is to forgive so we don't experience that torment and that pain in our life.
All right, Mark, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, one more segment with Dr. Mark Strong. You're listening to Live the Promise. So glad you joined us today. We're having a great discussion on forgiveness. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Sovereign in the mountains.
Open your heart to forgive. Jesus tells us to start where the problem of unforgiveness begins, and that would be the heart. Forgiving from our head, just thinking the thoughts, isn't true forgiveness. Neither is forcing ourselves to choose forgiveness. Forgiving from the will, and that's an excerpt from The Freedom Factor, a book written by Dr. Bruce Wilkinson and Dr. Mark Strong. I have Dr. Mark Strong on the line today. We're having a lively discussion. Mark, I'm going to ask kind of a personal question.
Sure.
Can you tell me an occasion where you had to forgive someone yourself, and it was a difficult thing to do, and how it happened?
Well, I'll tell you, there was a situation in our church where there was a person that started a church out of our church, and I thought I'd forgiven him. And one of the ladies in our church came, and she said to me, "You know, Pastor, you really need to forgive him." And I found myself, I didn't yell at her, but I was yelling at, in my inside. I was yelling. I was like, "Forgive him? Are you kidding me? He's the one that did something. What do I need to forgive him for?"
Mm-hmm.
And later on that night, I got a call from a person. And I ended up going over there, talking to him, asking him to forgive. But that was a hard pill. That was a hard pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
To extend forgiveness when I felt that, you know, obviously I was the one that was wrong. But God was like, "No, you haven't forgiven this guy for what he's done." And so I had to do what we're talking about in this book. And then once I did that, like I said, the freedom and the peace that happened was just so wonderful. You know, it was great. And, you know, Bill, I've had the opportunity to, you know, just to kind of, you know, after doing this book with Dr. Wilkinson, to, you know, to preach this message in a number of different places. I was preaching a church in Canada, fairly large church, and gave the altar call, and there were people just came down to forgive. The pastor told me, he said, this was the largest altar call he's ever seen in the church.
Mm.
There was a young man who was in the church that day who was getting ready to go to prison. He was a Hell's Angels biker, and he just poured, afterwards, he just stopped me. This guy has tattoos all over him. He stops me, and he's telling me, "I just feel so wonderful. I feel so great. I've forgiven. I've let that person go. That weight that was on me is off of me." I was preaching another place in called the Country Church. This was like way out in the country. This man who had been hurt by a spiritual leader, and we went through the steps of opening up your heart and extending compassion to the person that forgave you, opening the prison door and releasing the person from the prison. And then we got to the last step, which is to bless the person. He could not do it. His mouth was just like he had lockjaw. He could not bring himself to say, "Lord, bless this person." But we talked a little bit more. We worked through the steps that are in the book. Finally, this man said, I bless that person." Just such a wonderful breakthrough that broke through in his life. I got a text from the pastor not too long ago. He said, since you've talked about the forgiveness factor at the church, he said, "There's been so much going on. Can you just come back and just talk to the guys, or maybe come back and preach it again?" And I think this message is so vital for the church, because so many people, Bill, sit in pews Sunday after Sunday, and we worship and we sing and we listen to messages and we even talk about forgiveness, but it's amazing how much unforgiveness still resides in the hearts of people on a Sunday morning. And even especially, too, with all the things, we look at our, you know, the elections and everything that's going on, despite who voted for who, our nation is in a terrible place. Yes, there's issues we have to deal with, but there's so much unforgiveness that takes place on even a national level with whites and blacks and whites and Hispanics and you know, and so forth. And Jesus' heart is for people, yes, work out the differences, but we can never work out the differences unless we forgive. Forgiveness comes first, and once forgiveness happens, then we can begin to sit down and we can talk and we can be civilized and work things out. That's why I was so, you know, just excited to be able to write this book with Dr. Wilkinson, because I believe in it, and having, you know, been a person that works in all different communities, black communities, white communities, kind of my thing is like a bridge builder, and to see something, a message that will liberate people's hearts, liberate churches, liberate communities. It's just a wonderful thing, and so I just recommend, not just because I had a piece in writing the book, but I just wholeheartedly recommend it, because I know that if a pastor will pick up, you know, a copy of this book and just read it himself, or if they do a small group, or if they, you know, get in, distribute their churches, people will be impacted. I had a lady, Bill, that she in the city of Portland with the police department, the city council. There's a meeting where about 100 people, secular people from the city, come to work, come to me to talk about issues going on in the community. This lady came and she said, "Can I buy 100 books because I want to give them out to our city, to our city officials, police department, and everything else."
Wow.
So here it is. This book is beginning to impact, the city, our city, in a way that I would have never ever dreamed of. But people, it's resonating with people. To understand that we need to forgive, and it's so very, very practical, that anybody can pick it up, they can read it, and they can follow the steps, they can go through it. And as Dr. Wilkerson says, he didn't write this book just to give information or to give another give a good treatise on Matthew 18:21-35. His heart to write the book was so that. Any man, any woman, any church member, any pastor, when they read the book, one thing would happen. They would forgive.
Mm-hmm. Mark, I way over-prepared for today because I've got 29 questions left to ask you, and we're like out of time. So I feel a little frustrated, although the material that you have shared with our listening audience today has been sensational, and I really want to encourage people to get the book, The Freedom Factor, Finding Peace by Forgiving Others and Yourself. And I just know that this is a subject that's pretty close to everyone's heart. We all have had to do forgiveness with others and with ourselves, and there's probably still people out there tonight that's driving home or they're getting ready for dinner thinking, I got someone in particular I need to do right with.
Yes.
And I want freedom from how I'm feeling. Desmond Tutu has got a quote in your book. It says, "Forgiveness says you're given another chance to make a new beginning." And maybe there's people tonight that need that new beginning. Would you pray for the people out there that have heard your message today and are needing courage to move forward?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you love us. We thank you that you have not left us without an answer and without a solution to deal with something very difficult and something to be very hard. Today, Lord, help us to obey you by forgiving. Help us to open our hearts. Help us, Lord, to have compassion. Help us, Lord, to open the prisons of our hearts, Father, and to forgive people, Lord, for every wound that they may have committed against us. And then, Lord, empower our hearts to bless them and to pray good would happen in their lives. God, we pray that across this nation, churches across America, homes and families, they would experience the forgiveness and find, Lord God, the joy and the peace that comes from forgiving themselves and others. We ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Mark, now you can come back on the show again sometime, can't you? Because there's just
anytime.
There's been so much we didn't cover. One of the things I wanted to talk about was just the language of forgiveness. You know, how do we do this? This is not easy. But we're going to have you back, and we'll continue our discussion. The book is The Freedom Factor, Finding Peace by Forgiving Others and Yourself. We're going to put all that up on the webpage. Go to myfaithradio.com. Go to Live the Promise, and it'll all be there. So that wraps up our show today. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great night. God bless everyone.